Won't it be wonderful there? That is a very good thing. As we come together on this morning, gathered together with the saints to worship God in spirit and in truth, hoping that something might be said to cause someone to get their lives right with God before it's everlasting too late. He is a loving God, a God of patience, a merciful God, a God of wrath. And if we do not do what we are supposed to do in this life, you can rest assured the life to come is not going to be a good thing. Therefore, let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. On this morning, the topic that is on the screen is a helpmeet from the Lord. A helpmeet from the Lord. The word helpmeet is defined as a help suitable for Him, a companion, a helper. And there are so many of us, even today, as we have help needs, most definitely. Brother Robert needs one. We need someone to keep us in line. Not someone to walk behind us. Not someone to walk in front of us. But we need someone to walk by our side. To hold our hands. And when we try to get ahead of them, to pull us back where we need to be. This is the type of person that God made for Adam in the very beginning. A helpmeet. When the Lord God looked around the garden and He seen all that He had made, the animals and Adam, He saw that there was not a mate suitable for Adam. So He made him a helpmeet. In verse 18 of the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. The verse is 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what He would call them. And whatever or whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now I don't know about any of the other men around here, but I'm glad that God created woman. Amen. For man. Why do we have to stress that today? That God made woman for man.
Amen.
Well, the reason is because people have changed that. Man for man and woman for woman. But that's not the way God created us. And that's not what I'm here to talk to you about this morning. That's a whole nother subject. But as God created woman, He created woman to serve Him. He created woman to help those that were in need, and also to care for the home. Serving God in the very beginning was somewhat easy. Helping those that were in need was real easy. And taking care of their home was extremely easy. What am I saying? I'm saying that the only person Eve had to help was Adam. The only thing she had to care for was the garden that God had created. They didn't. All they had to do was tend to that garden and everything would be all right. And we still have women today that serve God. We still have women today that help their husbands and others that are in need. And we still have women today that care for the home. These things are very important. We look at the wife and the home. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, the verses 18. First we need to find out, and we have already read that woman was created for man. There's no doubt. If you believe that the Bible is true, you can believe this. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 and 9. You know, when the scripture was read that the woman's desire should be for her husband and that he should rule over her. I know a lot of people do not like to hear that. Talking about the women, Brother Denopoulos. But that's God's word, isn't it? And if we do not follow God's word, we'll find ourselves in a whole lot of trouble. So we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 and 9, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." That's important. That we realize that when we start talking about the wife and the home. That's important when we start talking about the roles of women and the roles of men, that those things are important, that we realize who was created first and who was created for whom. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 31, God didn't mess up when He created woman. Although Adam said in Genesis chapter 3, "It was that woman that you gave me. She gave me of the fruit and I did eat. Of the tree, and I did eat." But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, the Bible says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." All that God created, you find throughout the creation, it says it was good. And here at the very end of creation, it says that everything that He created, and behold, it was very good. And you know, all is still very good. But we need to keep in line with God's word and do the things that God would have us to do. Well, I just messed that up, didn't I? Did y'all see it? Y'all missed it. The qualities of a woman. I really don't need that. The qualities of a woman. You know, Brother Shelton, when you were looking for a wife, what were you looking for? Were you looking for someone to cook like your mom cooked? Were you looking for someone to dress like your mom dressed? Or were you looking for someone to suit you? Not fit the bill of your mom. We find that there are some women that possess some of these things. These are some good qualities of a woman. Now the beauty. Inner or outer. My wife used to tell our boys and other young men that you need to find you an ugly woman. But they was always looking for somebody that was good looking. You find you an ugly woman, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You ain't got to worry about nobody trying to get her. You ain't got to worry about nobody looking at her. All you have to worry about is that inner beauty. As long as she look good to you, brethren, don't worry about what nobody else says. I have a good looking wife. Had a young man that got married, and that's what he used to go around. He just got married. Ooh, look at my wife. Isn't she pretty? One of the brothers said, you don't need to tell them people that. Telling people to look at your wife. But inner beauty is what we need to be looking for in a woman. Man. The charm that she possesses, knowing how to treat others. Man. Some women don't know these things. Amen. But they need to be taught. Tenderness, taking care of business. How many women really understand what that means, taking care of business? Virtue, a wonderful character. So we have some women that possess these qualities, then we have other women that don't possess them. We have some men out there that are looking for wives and want their wives to fit everything that they have in their minds for a wife.
Amen.
Oh, if she don't know how to cook, I don't want her. She don't look good, I don't want her. You teach her how to cook. You teach her how to look good. You teach her how to dress. And brethren, let me say something. Just because she dressed a certain way when you met her. You know, we were talking about brother, that brother, oh, there he is over there. And Sister Bonnie as well. We were talking about Rahab the harlot. You know, if she was dressing like a harlot when you met her, you need to teach her how to dress.
Amen.
Teach her how to fix herself up so that she don't look like a harlot anymore. And again, that's another lesson later. But we need to teach them what we want to have in our wives. What we want to have, you know, in the mother of our children. Teach them. So again, Brother Shelton, we're looking for a wife sometimes. And when we look for a wife, this is what we need to understand. Man can have no greater possession than a wife. That don't say that, does it? It says a good wife. A good wife. In Proverbs chapter 18, the verses 22. And I know that every man is not going to get married, and that's fine. But if you're planning on getting married, or if you're married, I want you to think about these things. Do you have a good wife? Did you find a good thing? In Proverbs chapter 18, the verse is 22. Proverbs 18, the verse is 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? You know, you found a good thing and you found favor in the Lord. In the beginning, what did God say? A man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Looking for a wife. When I first met my wife, I lost my mind. There she was. I was at work. Well, I was going to work, and I used to go to work every day, and the boss man would say, who would want to go home? I said, I do. I was still in high school. I didn't have to work. But I walked in there one day, and there she was. I had found a good thing. Boss man said, who want to go home? And looked over there at me, and I said, what you looking at me for? I wanted to stay at work that day, and I did. And 27 years later, we're still together. I found a good thing. I know there are some other brothers say, well, I've been married longer than you. Keep on being married then. Keep on being with your good thing. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. one who is wise in judgment. I know the man is supposed to be the house of the home, but when that woman said, you know, I really don't think we can afford that new car, she's using some wisdom. Because sometimes we can't afford that new car. We need to listen to that wife, man. We need to sit down and hear what she has to say. Yeah, I know that we want to be the man and we want to make every decision, but we need to include her because she's part of that house.
Amen.
In Proverbs 31:10. Now again, I guess you run your house the way you want to, and I'm going to run mine the way I want to. But I want to keep peace.
Amen.
Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She is more precious than rubies. Silver or gold, whatever you have, this woman is more precious than that. Oh, we spend a lot of time with our toys sometimes. We need to start spending some time with our wives because they are more precious. 31 verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She takes care of her man. Don't have to worry about anything. He doesn't have to worry about her, because he knows he is doing what he is supposed to do. And when you take care of business the way God wants you to take care of business, everything will be all right. But then a woman has obligations. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, the verse that Brother Theodos read, her desire must be to her own husband. You know, we need to stress that. Her own husband. No one else's husband, but her own. That's who she should desire. And if that man is doing what he's supposed to, she will not desire anybody else. When she cooks something, don't tell you, baby, I don't like that and I'm not going to eat it. Sometimes you just have to eat it and be happy. I was in the military. Used to get breakfast every morning. Woke up one morning and said, baby, I don't have time for breakfast this morning. I got to run. She said, you can take it with you. Woke up the next morning, she cooked breakfast. Baby, I don't have time for breakfast. Wish I hadn't never said that. Now she don't have time to cook breakfast. I put that on myself. I get done. Y'all laughing. I get breakfast now. I get breakfast. But she quit cooking breakfast for a long, long time. And I miss that breakfast. So now when she cooks, I eat. We have to understand that her desire must be to her own husband. She would never get up and cook breakfast with anybody else if she wasn't getting up and cooking breakfast for me. So her desire must be to her own husband. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. So when we look at these scriptures, we need to understand who the author of these scriptures are. Man didn't just say, well, let me write this about woman and let her submit to the things in which I write. These are the words of God. And we need to listen to them, and we need to pay strict attention to them, and we need to obey them, for God is pleased when we do the things in which He would have us to do.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 teaches us that man is the head of the woman. Man is the head of the woman. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Well, if man is the head of the woman, and Christ is the head of the church, and we're all subject unto Christ, sometimes that man may ask that woman to do some things that's not in accordance with God's will. That woman need to point it out to him. Yes, I know you're the husband. I know you're supposed to be the head. But what did God say? That's what we need to go by sometimes. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Oh, Brother Brian. Oh, he's sitting in the back there. Hey, Brother Brian. Brother Brian tried to get my wife to tell him something the other day. And I said, no, she's not going to tell you. But she wanted to tell me something. He said, tell him why we're around. And she looked at me and I said, no. And you know what her reply was? I'm an obedient wife. Brother Brian probably still don't know what the conversation was all about. because it wasn't his business at that time. A wife must obey her husband. Not saying that my wife does everything I tell her to do. Now, if any man get up and say that, you're a bad man. You're a bad man. But wives, listen. When you start talking about obeying your husband, make sure you obey your husband in the Lord. The things which are right. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. You'll never see me coming to any man's house telling his wife what to do. Because I know my place. And that woman should not listen to what any other man tell her if her husband didn't send that message. Because she should know her place. See, we need to understand this. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 10, a wife has duties in marriage. She has duties in marriage. She needs to take care of her husband. Oh, I know that if you're over the age of 18, talking to the women now, over the age of 18, and I'm just using that for the benefit of those that probably some are younger and know better. Girl, my man was with somebody else. Why was he with someone else? Why was he with someone else? If you're married to a man, ladies, and you're going around telling people that he was with someone else, I want you to consider what you have been doing or what you have not been doing. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 10, if he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage, shall he not be diminished? And we continue on looking 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 through 5. Go ahead, Brother Theotis.
Now we left to the one provocation that every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. That's the husband written to the wife who was never, and likewise not told the wife to the husband. The wife has not power over her body. The husband, likewise also, the husband has power over his own body, but his wife. He probably did not want another except that you could consent time that you may give yourself to.
Why do men and women cheat on one another? Your body is not yours. Your body belongs to your spouse. Your spouse now. Well, he failed to pay the light bill. So I'm going to withhold some things from him. Well, sometime when he failed to pay the light bill at home, he's paying the light bill somewhere else. And why? Because things are not going well at home. We need to read the Bible. See, everything that you go through in life, the Bible has already talked about it. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's no new thing under the sun. Whatever happens in our lives, it should not come to surprise to us, or it should not be a shock to us. Defraud, the Bible says in verse 5, ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time. A time. We don't want anybody to go out and commit adultery. We do not want anyone to go out and have extramarital affairs, because this is against God's will. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, see, this is what the helpmeet does for you. She helps you out. She keeps you in intact. She keeps you with everything you need. Hebrews chapter 13, the verses 4. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Y'all had no idea that when y'all saw that title up there, "Help Me from the Lord," that this was going to come up, did you? That's what a help me does. She takes care of her husband, a companion, a mate suitable for him. Suitable for him. You need to understand this. Continue on in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. See, a woman has a whole lot of obligations, don't you? Oh man, you're going to get your opportunity too. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Respect him. Respect him. Okay, baby, you don't want to fix that, though, problem. I'm going to call somebody else over to fix it. Give him time. Give him time. If I know how to fix something, I'll come into the house and another man's not fixing it, some fixing is going to be done. Got to call a repair man. But then, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. See, this is the problem that we have, not only with wives, but also with husbands, and husbands and wives both against their children. A lot of times, we do not know how to talk. We do not say the words that we need to say. Wives, you need to understand that your husband is your husband. You don't need to go and talk about him to anybody else. And then when you come into the house, you don't need to put him down all the time. Ask him, first of all, every day I come in the house, baby, why are you sitting down? Maybe he's tired. Don't walk in the house and say, "You lazy bum, you've been on the couch all day." Ask him why first. "Baby, I had a rough day. Whew. Let me tell you about it." And she needs to sit down and she needs to listen about his day before she starts accusing him of being lazy. Bible says in verse 1 of 1 Peter 3, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." By your conversation, by the things in which you say, by the way you treat him, he may be won. Now, she is a good woman. Yes, she goes to church every Sunday. Yes, she goes to Bible study every Wednesday. Maybe I need to go and see what's going on. Wouldn't that be good if we had more men with that attitude?
Amen.
I heard a man say one time, "You know, I get tired of my wife going down there and taking my money to that church." We're talking about the Church of Christ. But that's what he was saying. You know what I told him? I said, "You need to go down and see what your wife's doing." Because she was taking all the money down there. But by the conversation, he wasn't getting any false information because she was using the communication that she was supposed to. Says, "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be with the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart." Going back to that inner beauty. The hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. See, we need some women to adopt this into their lives. That they may say the things that God is pleased with. That they may win their spouse over to the Lord. A woman has obligations. A woman has obligations. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to go through these next ones real quick now. Because I need to get into something else. They must love their own husband. Keep saying that, don't I? They must love their own husband. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, if all possible, that woman needs to bear children. If all possible. And that's what I want to read for you real quick here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, once again. You get tired of hearing it before it's all over, won't you? But this is Bible. You should never get tired of hearing God's word.
Amen.
"Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bear forth children. And thy desire shall be to their husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now I know that there are some women that go, you know, they get pregnant and they go into labor and they just have their child with ease. And there are some other ones, man, when that baby gets to be a certain age and they started, you know, you say, I remember all the trouble you gave me when I was in labor with you. In labor for hours with you. And now you're still giving me troubles. We have some children like that. They're going to trouble us until we die properly. But that's okay. God said that, you know, the woman is going to have some troubles during her conception, during her, you know, for bringing up these children. They're going to have some troubles. But during all the troubles that a woman has with her children, she needs to understand something. That she still needs to teach them the way of the Lord. That she still needs to do what she's supposed to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, we find, you know, I got some words highlighted there, and you've seen this all through the slides, that a woman must marry. She don't have to, but it'd be good for her to marry. Why would it be good for her to marry? The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Marry. There are so many ladies out there today that want to do things that married people do, but they don't want to get married. Marry before you decide to bear children. This is God's word. And once you're married and you're bearing children, guess what? You need to take care of the home. Take care of the home. And men, yes, we need to help our wives take care of the home. Man. It's not the wife's obligation to keep these big old houses that we want to buy. It's our responsibility. That house is your home. And in keeping the home, the wives teach their children how to make their beds, how to clean their rooms, how to wash the dishes. You see, baby, ooh, you got this house looking good. And the kids are standing in the background saying, she didn't do it by herself. But she taught them how to do it. Baby, dinner smells good. What did you cook? Oh, baby, I fried chicken. I did this and I did that. And the woman got all these young girls. Those young girls did that cooking because the mom taught them how to cook. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Moms, grandmothers, whoever you are, teach your children the word of God. But Ollie said the other day, you know, he was raised not in the church, but he was raised in a denominational group, and one of the first scriptures that they ever learned was what? John 3:16. Why? Because the grandmothers and the moms, they taught their children John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I didn't learn that when I came into the church. I learned that when I was out there in a denominational group. But when I became a member of the church, I found out the understanding about John 3:16. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. They taught Timothy the scriptures. This is what a mom would do while the husband is out working. Teaching their children God's word. Teaching their children how to be pleasing unto God. Getting ready for her husband to come home. And when he gets home, that everything is going to be how God designed it. Well, husbands, let me say this. If the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you come home is, baby, what's for dinner, you're wrong. The first thing that comes out of your mouth when you get home, baby, why you need to clean the house, you're wrong. Why don't you try this? Hey, babe, I love you. Give her a kiss. I miss you today. And then get off into all the other things. And see how that goes over. You may have to sleep on the couch and you may not. My wife and I, we made a pact a long time ago. If I got to go sleep on the couch or in another room, it's time for somebody to go. Yeah, have we always stuck with that? I'm going to be honest with you, no. But guess what? We're still together. We're still together. We need to love our wives, husbands. We need to love our mothers. We need to love the women that are in our lives. And we need to teach them, if they do not know, God's Word. Teach them how they need to behave. And we ourselves need to know how to behave. So we need to pick up the book that is called the Bible and do the things that are right. If you're here today, and you're not a child of God, if you have never had your sins washed away in the water grave of baptism, today is your day. Come forth, make the good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, have your sins washed away, added to the body of Christ by the Lord Himself, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Maybe you're here today and you are a member of the Lord's church and you have fell away. The opportunity is given to you to come and to make your confession, to do what God wants you to do, get your life back right with Him, and both to the one that wants to be added to the body, once you're added, to those that want to come forth and come forth. It's your responsibility to live faithful unto death, that you may receive a crown of life. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as you stand and sing.